First off, thank you for coming to this session. My name is Alex Burton. I'm a product manager with Nintex, and I'm responsible for the workflow products. Okay. In my spare time, I'm an MVP for Microsoft Project. Okay. And from the accent, I've flown up from Melbourne to be with you today to talk about implementing your organizational process on Project Server, SharePoint, and Office 365 with Nintex. Okay. Now, before I get started, can I get a bit of a show of hands? How many people here are Nintex customers or have used Nintex products before? Fantastic. Okay. So for those of you that haven't, a little bit about Nintex. So we are the world's leading SharePoint and Project Server workflow company. Okay. We build products. We build innovative software and cloud solutions to help organizations get value and implement business process quickly and easily. We have over 5,000 customers in 90 countries that are serviced through a network of high-quality partners and service providers, a number of whom are at this conference now and a few in this room. Our customers include over 200 of the Fortune 500 companies, over 100 major banks, and we service government, public, and private sector companies. In 2013, we were recognized by Gartner as a cool vendor in the project and portfolio management space for our Nintex workflow for Project Server product and the value that it gives organizations. In the same year, Microsoft recognized us as a finalist in the Partner of the Year award for PPM and for Office and SharePoint app developer. And that's about all I'm going to tell you about Nintex, because now what I want to do is I want to show you the product. So what we want to do today, we're going to dive in to how you can leverage the Nintex products to implement your organizational process. And specifically, we're going to look at three things. Now, I'm going to be upfront with you. I hate slides, okay? So today is about demos. I want to show you the stuff. I want to show you how easy the product is to use, the value you can get from it, and the capability that it provides. So the first area I want to look at, we'll talk about, is Project Server. We're going to look at the fantastic PPM solution that you've all been hearing about at this conference. It enables you to manage individual projects, resource pool, the task and timesheeting capability, that powerful portfolio optimization and prioritization capabilities, the project collaboration capabilities. You name it, it's got it. Now, just as a show of hands, how many people here are using Project Server as their primary project management platform? Okay, and who's using 2013, 2010, 2007, and below, 2003, I've got a prize for you, hang on, for being brave and sharing that with us. I have, these are like little Australian gold bars, and I've got a lot of these to give out, so I shall pass these down to you. There you go, thank you for being honest. That doesn't count, Ben, I'm afraid, sorry. the second area we want to look at today is around on-premise SharePoint. Okay, so on-premise SharePoint. In 2013, SharePoint has become a first-class, project management's become a first-class workload. Okay, we have the simple statusing. We have that great timeline view and project summary view. We have that fantastic sync with project capability. So you can take your schedules and synchronize them into SharePoint. People can then status them quickly and easily. And who can go past that My Tasks feature, that ability for you to roll up all of your tasks across each of your project sites, see what you have in your My Site, and respond to it? How many people here are using that My Tasks capability in Project Server 2013? Good. Okay, good. And the last thing we're going to look at today is around Office 365, that low cost per user per month cloud-based service that provides you with SharePoint Online, Link Exchange Online, and also Project Online that we saw in the keynote yesterday. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to look at each of these in turn, and I'm going to show you how Nintex products can assist you in implementing your process within. Now, the first area we're going to look at is Project Server. Let's grab a drink. When you talk about Project Server and implementing process, the first thing people think about is demand management. Okay, so you're all familiar, hopefully you're all familiar with the demand management capability of Project Server. There are some fantastic sessions at the conference that will go into that in a lot more detail than I am. A guy called Stephen Hayden has a session. I encourage you to go along and see that. For those of you who might not be familiar with it, it's about using some of the Project Server constructs, things like custom fields, project detail pages, stages and phases, and using those to build out a process. Okay, and you can capture information, you can render that information in the forms or the PDPs, and you can move through your process using a set of stages. Now that's all bound together using a workflow process. Okay, so that's what really engages it. Now, demand management, with the exception of status reports, has to be the worst named feature in the whole of Project Server. Okay, it is not all about demand. I go and talk to customers, and they say, we want to implement our process in Project Server. How do we do that? How could, you know, what can we use? And I say, you can use the demand management capability. And the response is usually, we don't want to do demand. We don't want to capture our ideas for projects and then go through a process of trying to, you know, work out whether or not we've got the resources for it. We want to use it for execution. We want to put approvals and stage gating in place. Well, absolutely, you can do that with demand management. Personally, I like to call it project lifecycle management, because it's there for the length of the project. You can use it in the initiation phase, you can use it through selection, you can use it through planning, but you can also use it through execution, closure, and post-implementation review. The capability is there for the whole life cycle of the project. Now, from a process perspective, what could you possibly want to do? Well, stage gating and approvals is usually the typical requirement. People want to have approvals within their process to make sure that projects are approved or have the validations and the checks and balances before they move to the next stage. Okay, and a common requirement is to be able to implement that. Perhaps you need notifications in there. Perhaps you want to see or alert people when certain things happen or when things are about to happen. Okay, your process, your organization, you have built out from experience a process. You know it works for you. You need to be able to encapsulate that completely within Project Server and these demand management workflows to make it work. A final thing people typically want to do is to integrate their demand management with external systems. Perhaps when you get to the end of the execution phase, you want to pump all your actuals out to a financial system so you can see the real cost of the project. Perhaps at other earlier stages, you want to pull in resource rates from an external system so you can see that information before you move on. All of those are very real problems that you might want to solve with demand management workflows. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you a demo. I'm going to show you quite a few demos today. We're going to look at how Nintex Workflow for Project Server, in this case, can assist you in building out demand management workflows. And I'm going to show you two examples. I'm going to show you a simple example. I'm going to show you a little bit more involved example. So what I've got here is a Project Server on-premise. I'm running it on a virtual machine here, and I've installed Nintex Workflow for Project Server. Now to get to it, I go to my little cog, and you'll see here I've got two menu items. I've got Nintex Workflow, and I've got Nintex Workflow for Project Server. So I'm just going to go in, and I'm going to choose to create a demand management workflow. And that brings up the designer. It's web-based. When you first open it, you get an option to choose from templates. Now, we're not going to cheat today and show you a template, so I'm just going to close that one out. But you'll see here there are three main parts to the designer. Across the top, I have the ribbon, and that's where I can control various parts of the workflow designer, things like importing and exporting, settings, zooming in, zooming out, printing, all of that stuff sits in the top ribbon. In the middle, I have the workflow canvas, where I can build out my workflow process. And on the left, I have my toolbox, where I have all the actions that I may want to use to build my workflow process. To build a workflow, it's as simple as picking up the action you want and dragging it onto the designer. Okay? As you do that, you see we take care of the hard stuff for you. We put on the lines and give you that framework for you to build out your process. Now, what I'm going to do today, I'm going to show you a very simple workflow that enables me to build out, let's say, a three-stage workflow. So I'm going to go through my actions and quickly have a look at them. We have actions in here that will assist you with doing things like calling web services, talking to CRM if you have it in your organization, talking to Link, If you're a developer, we have actions that let you talk to SQL and execute SQL queries. We let you talk to BCS, Excel, various other things you see in there. There's quite a wealth of actions. In SharePoint Heritage, with the Nintex Workflow product, we have a fantastic set of features that enable you to talk to SharePoint. You can check in items. You can check out items. You can copy items. You can update metadata on items. You name it, we can do it for SharePoint. With any business process tool you need, the tools that enable you to build out the process, your requirements of the process. So we have advanced logic and flow actions that enable you to do things like filtering, loops, run if statements, and things like a state machine, which is quite an advanced concept for building very complex status change type workflows. From an operations perspective, we have all those actions you may need to do things like manipulating strings, dates, and numbers, and the ability to start other workflows off from within a workflow. If you use SharePoint, we have actions here that enable you to create Active Directory groups, move people into Active Directory groups, provision sites, something that's very useful in organizations where they have an onboarding process where they can approve a user, and we can go off and use a workflow to automatically provision those users into SharePoint. And finally, before we look at project server stuff, we have actions around interacting with the user. Things like our Flexi task, which makes it very easy to create tasks to assign to people. We have actions here that enable you to create exchange items. We have actions here that let you do meeting suggestions. All of this stuff is available out of the box for you to put into your organizational process. Today, though, we want to look at Project Server. For demand management, we expose the same actions that Microsoft make available to you, okay? But we've added a few extras. We've got actions here, the change project type action that enables you to change an EPT type during a workflow. So you could have a funnel, a collection, that all projects come in of the same EPT type. You could evaluate the data within that EPT type and then change it to be a different EPT type within workflow. Quite a powerful tool if you're using that for idea collection. We have actions that let you publish projects from within the workflow. And we have actions that let you go in and query the PSI. So if you're familiar with the PSI, which is the main interface of Project Server on-prem, we let you go in and query nearly all the query options of the PSI and use that within your workflows. I said I was going to do something simple. I'll show you a very simple one. I'm now going to build a very simple workflow to take me through three stages. We're going to start with initial proposal details, we're going to go to execution, and then we're going to go into closure. Okay, it's a very simple process. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to drag on my actions. So I'm going to drag on three actions. Two, whoops, back up, and three. There you go. To configure the action, I double click on it. We pick up whatever stages have already been set inside the Project Server product. And I just choose them. So one, two. You'll see here in the drop-down list, we just pick this up straight from Project Server. We even have the phases in here. And three. Oops, missed that one by the looks of it. Execution. There you go. So I've built a workflow. That's a three-stage workflow. If I wanted to use that inside Project Server now, all I need to do is press the Publish button. We'll take that workflow and we'll push it into Project Server, and it'll come into Project Server infrastructure. If you then go to Server Settings and the EPT section, that workflow is available for you. So I'll quickly show you that. I'll give it a name. What should we call this one? PC300. Oops. 300? 1,000? 100? You see here there's things like description and change comments. We also let you store versions of workflows, so you don't necessarily have to push this into Project Server. You can store versions of it and then come back to it and modify it at a later time. In this case here, I'm just going to publish it straight through. And in a moment, I'll show you that available inside Project Server. Okay. Before I come out the designer, I want to show you something a little bit more advanced. I'm going to open an existing workflow. And you'll see here I've got my workflows, and you see the one we've just created. I'm going to open this one called Governance Workflow. And if you click here, you can see I've created multiple versions of this. So I iterated through. I didn't get it right the first time. I made a version, I enhanced it, I made another version, I enhanced it. If I wanted to, I could go back and open a previous version. Okay, so you're not constrained to always using the first version, the existing version. In this case, though, I'm going to use the latest and greatest. OK, Okay, and we've opened this one up. Now this is a little bit more involved. This particular workflow, and I'm going to show you this one running, basically lets me puts up a PDP and lets me collect two pieces of valuable information: the project sponsor and the estimated project budget. Okay, so it's a typical ideation type, a typical business case type scenario. Once I've collected that information, my workflow is going to move on. I'm going to run a parallel branch. I'm going to do two things at the same time in my workflow, and it's going to go off. It's going to read in those values that I put in. In this case here, it's reading the project sponsor name. So we have an action, read project property, and that will pull the values in. In fact, I could pull in any values that are configured within Project Server and I've decided to collect. In this case here, I'm pulling the sponsor in, and I'm storing that result in the project sponsor name variable that I can use later on. Once I've got that information, I'm then going to assign a task off to the sponsor. And I'm going to use a thing that we call the flexi task. Now, the great thing about the flexi task is you can configure absolutely anything you want within it. Okay, so in this case here, I'm assigning it to the sponsor. I could put some information in here. If I wanted more than one outcome, I could put that in as well. In this case, I've just got two. I can choose the behavior. So does everybody, if there's more than one person that I send it to, does everybody agree? Is there a majority? Has a majority chosen a specific outcome? You can see what we can do. We can set up the task notification. So I can go in and I can configure the task notification that goes out. And that's full WYSIWYG. So if I click, I get a normal text editor across the top here. And I can go in and manipulate this and make this look as I wish. So I can put my organizational branding within it. Now everything you see there with a red underline is a variable. So when this actually fires, we'll substitute in real values. Okay, so you'll see that in a moment. Now the important thing to note here is I've turned on this thing called lazy approval. And this is a fantastic feature of Nintex. Basically, it enables people to respond to the task without them necessarily having to log into SharePoint or Project Server. They can use email, and if they want, they can use IM. Okay, so we're going to show you email today. We'll show you that in a moment. With the flexi task, I can do various other things if I want. I can set my reminders in here and say I want five reminders every 5 minutes during business days only. You get the idea. You can configure it. It's incredibly flexible. It's up to you how you do it. One thing we've introduced in the last fortnight is the ability to be able to do BCCs. So when you send a task or a notification out, you can BCC people on it now. Something sneaky people like to use. I don't know. I personally don't use it. But it was something that we've heard from our customers, and they very much wanted it. Now, outcome of the task, once the task has been responded to, we have two options. If they reject the task, we'll go down the reject branch. We'll set the project stage to rejected, and we'll stop. If they approve, well, we're going to do something else. We're going to get the estimated project budget that we put in the PDP, and we're then going to copy that from estimated, and we're going to put it into a new custom field called approved. And that custom field is locked down, so they can't change it. Okay? So it's important when we're doing this approval that the sponsor that's approving the task has to crystallize that information. We don't want them to approve it based on an estimated project budget of $20,000, and then you go back in and change it to $50,000 after the fact. Okay? So we're crystallizing that. Once we've done that, we'll publish the project, and then we'll move into the execution phase. And then if we carried on, this one would go through to complete it. So simple workflow. Once I'm happy with it, I publish it. Now if I come out of the designer and I go into server settings and I choose enterprise project types, and I choose my governance project, you'll see that the workflow is available in there. So I can choose it. There's the PC300 one that we completed before, and I've got this governance workflow one across the top. So I'm going to cancel that. I'm actually going to create a project using this. So I go to my projects. Top here, I'm going to choose new, and I'm going to choose governance project. And across the top, let's call this one, imaginative. I'm going to choose my sponsor, and I've got a lookup field that I've configured. In this case here, I'm going to call myself Brett. And I'm going to give it a budget of 30 grand. And click on save. So Project Server is going to go off. It's going to spin up that workflow, and it's going to initiate the project. It's going to create it inside the project center. And in a moment, this will flick back to a PDP, and I'll be able to see the workflow overview page. So we'll give it a moment. It takes a couple of seconds to start up. There we go. So it's kicked off the project. You see, we've got that wonderful visualization across the top. So that's our Project Server 2013 thing that gives you that nice green and blue bar. 2010, not so lucky, but 2013, you've got that. You can see other things. In workflow stages, we can get other information about where we are. And it's saying we're in that first stage. We're in initial proposal details. Now, for those of you that are particularly eagle-eyed, you may have noticed there's an additional button sitting on the ribbon. So when you install Nintex Workflow for Project Server, we give you a new button. We give you the ability to see the workflow progress. So if I click on that, you'll see our workflow design has rendered up. Okay, and we've got a color-coded scheme that'll show us where we are. Now what I'm gonna do, I'm just gonna go back and I'm gonna submit this so we move into the next stage. It's gonna have a think. It's initiating the workflow, and it's moved on. I'm just gonna close this and check it in. Okay, so that's gonna check in the background. Whilst we do that, I'm going to refresh this page. You'll see that the diagram has changed. It's now turned green. Now, what that means is the action is executed. So if I hover on the action, you'll see the entry time and the exit time. So as a user, or as a PMO person, and I want to see where things are and what's been happening, I can come in and I can look at those times and see how we move through that process. As we scroll down, you'll see that we've got some status information. We've done this. We've done the read project properties. And in this case here, we're sitting on the assigned Flexi task. We're waiting for the sponsor to respond. Now, you'll notice here we've got things underneath, labels that say assign Flexi task to sponsor. These are customizable. In the designer, you can put your notes on this. So as a user, when I come in, I can see the workflow design, and I instantly understand what's going on. I don't have to be a programmer and go, what's happening here? We also give you the ability to show and hide these in the workflow design as well. So in this case here, I've assigned the task to Brett. Now for today only, Brett, who's one of our board members, I happen to have access to his inbox. And here you go, I've got it here. And you'll see that I've had an email come through. So it's come through to Brett Campbell. So we've substituted the name in there that said project sponsor. And we've got a project proposal for this demo project has been raised and requires your approval. Okay. Now this is customizable. I can add as much information to this as I wish. In real life, you would most probably put the project proposal amount in there because it's very hard to respond to it if you don't know how much it is. I could click through and view the task. Today I'm not going to. What I am going to do, because Brett's a very busy man, is I'm going to approve this now. Okay, I'm not going to log into Project Server. I'm not going to look. I'm going to type in the word approved, and I'm going to press send. That's it. I've done it. It's approved now. I didn't have to log into Project Server. I didn't have to go in and look at the project. All I did was type in the word approved. Now, this is the Nintex lazy approval feature that I spoke about. Lazy approval lets you define approved words and rejected words. Okay, so you can choose what they are. By responding to the email, it's going to go back into SharePoint. It's going to get picked up by Nintex. We'll interpret the response, if it's an approved response or it's a reject response, and we'll apply that to the workflow. Now, think of the value of this. If you've got C-level members of your organization that need to see this stuff but don't necessarily sit in front of SharePoint all the time or Project Server all the time, they can respond to tasks from their mobile devices, from their iPads, from their Blackberries, anywhere. There's no need for them to have to razz into to SharePoint or Project Server to respond. Okay. So hopefully, whilst I was talking, that's come through the internet and come back into my instance here. So if we scroll down, no, it's still waiting. There you go. Going too well. I click, here we go, it has come back. There you go. So I'm going to click and look at the textual view. Now we've got the visual view, which is great for users, but people who are in the PMO and want to see explicit what happened when and have that audit trail, we have the text view. And in this case here, we take the lazy approval response and we stamp it into our history. Okay, so you have that audit trail. We have the email that came back in. We have the email header information. So if you want to see more about the actual email and go off and find the existing email, you can. But as you can see here, Brett's responded, and I've got the approved sitting up the top. So that's pretty good. If I go back to my visual view, you'll see now that we've moved on. There you go. We've approved. Yep. Now it's moved, the workflow's moved on. That particular request now is gone. It's like a normal workflow task. You've responded. Instant messaging, it has a set period and we can escalate if you haven't responded within a certain period and go somewhere else, but you don't get the option to change your mind. So we've moved on. We're now sitting in a different stage, and we're in execution. So we've seen, in this case here, we've seen a pretty simple-ish process that shows you some of the process pieces. So that's one way of building out your process within Project Server using the demand management capability. But there might be things you want to do that don't use demand management. Maybe you want to do stuff that's a little bit more frequent. Maybe you want to, I might just ask these questions because we've got a fair bit to go through. If that's okay, we'll go at the end. Maybe we want to do something slightly more involved. Maybe we want to do something that's not related to a project. Maybe you have process around doing other things. There are a lot of different scenarios. Maybe you want to integrate with an external system every time a project is published instead of when you decide to move it through a stage. Okay? So maybe every time a project's published, you want to take all those tasks and you've invested in an external timesheeting system and you want to push those into that external system. Okay? Maybe you want to push actuals every time a project's published out to another system. You're not using a project server for some reason. That's a very real scenario. Maybe you want to kick off processes in with project server itself. Okay, so you have implemented processes to say only this person can update custom fields. Okay, in the configuration. Well, maybe you want to put a process around that to make sure that happens. Maybe you want to snapshot values. Maybe you want to be able to archive every time you publish a project. These are all types of things you may want to do inside Project Server that you can't necessarily do easily now. The last thing is around notifications. Perhaps you want to add extra notifications to Project Server. You can customize the ones that are there out of the box. What you can't do is add new ones easily. So if I wanted to know every time a resource was added to the resource pool, and I wanted to notify my resource manager, not so easy. So we got thinking at Nintex, how can we make this better? And we came up with this solution that we call event-driven workflows. What this does, it binds in to Project Server's server-side event handlers. Okay, they were introduced in 2007. They're fantastic. They effectively fire when something happens in Project Server. So for instance, when a project is published, it fires an event and says, I've been published. When a timesheet's been submitted, it fires an event to say a timesheet's been submitted. So what we've done is we've given you the ability to bind to over 115 of these different post-server-side events. So you can now fire off a workflow every time a project is published, a timesheet's submitted, a custom field is updated, a resource is added. Okay? We have that capability to do that. And the great thing is you have all the power of Nintex workflow at your fingertips. So you can use the simple drag and drop designer to build out these workflows. You don't have to know .NET. You don't have to be a programmer and go in there and add DLLs, which is the usual way of using these features. You can use workflow and the browser. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you how to build one. Okay. So this is my project center. I'm just going to go back up to the cog. Choose Nintex workflow for Project Server. You'll see here I've got this thing that says manage event-driven workflows. Okay, so I'm going to choose that. Okay, now what I'm going to take you through here is a workflow that we've created, or I've created, that basically allows you, as a member of the PMO, to keep your project managers honest. Okay, so we'll think the scenario through. I'm a project manager. My project is going out of control. I'm 20 grand over budget. And I think to myself, I've got 2 weeks till I need to report my status again. I'm going to fix it. I'm somehow going to come in under 20 grand on another project. Now, we all know some people think like that, not the good ones, but some people do. We all know what happens. 2 weeks later, I'm 50 grand over budget, and then I've got to stand up in my status report or my steering committee and tell them, I'm very sorry, thought I could fix it. So what I've got here is a workflow we call the Keeping the PM Honest workflow. And basically what happens is every time I publish a project, it's going to check the project cost inside the schedule, and it's going to compare it against the approved project budget. And if it's over, it emails the world. Okay? So none of this 2 weeks to sort it out. None of this waiting and being surprised 2 weeks later that you're running over budget. The minute the project manager presses the publish button, everybody knows. Okay, so we fired that rule off. We've implemented that process instantly. Okay, some people hate this part of the demo. They usually leave. So let's have a quick look at the workflow. Actually, I might do this in edit. Let's go in edit. So the workflow itself, very simple, very similar to what you saw with demand management, except it has a slightly limited set of actions. We don't let you use the project server demand management actions. However, we do give you three other actions. We let you use the query project server action, so that ability to go into project server and pull stuff through the PSI. We let you listen for the event, so we have a retrieve event data action. And we have the ability to update non-workflow controlled project properties. Okay, so not the ones that DM's controlling. So if we go in and have a look, look at the first action. These are the events we're listening for. And I said there were over 115 of them, and they really are. We cover off pretty much all the major methods that you would see inside Project Server. So the areas like calendars being updated, resources updated, resource plans, delegation, if you're using the classic authentication, and you're using the delegation feature, we can track that kind of stuff too. In this case here, I'm listening for project, and I'm listening for when it's published. But again, look at all those options. You could bind a process to any of those if they were relevant to your organization. So once I capture that, I'm going to pull back the project name. And I'm going to I'm going to return the cost. I'm going to do a check, a little check here to say whether or not the budget is greater than zero. So is it an approved project or not? And I'm going to use the query project server action. And this is the powerful action I spoke about that lets me go in and interrogate project server through the PSI. In this case here, I'm using a project method, but I have access to all of these. And I'm using things like the read project method. Now, for those integrators or people that get into the PSI, there's a lot of stuff in here that you can't get to through the reporting database, okay, which is the usual way of getting it information. So you can go in one particular case here, we've got read project team. You can't see that in the reporting DB, but you can get at it through this way. So if you wanted to know who was on the team, you could use it. It's quite a powerful feature. In this case here, I'm going to go in, I'm going to look at the project in the published database, and I'm going to pull back information about the task, but I have access to all this stuff, for the task ID equals zero. Once I've got it, I'm going to put it in a variable and I'm going to handle it. As I move on, I do my check. Is project cost greater than the approved budget? Well, if it's not, we'll stop. There's no need to carry on. But if it is, let's tell everyone. So let's close that. To use the workflow, what I need to do is associate it with the event. So I go in here and I'll click on modify. I choose the event that I want to monitor, and I can choose the workflow, and I have options for different workflows. All I need to do is enable it and press save. So what will happen is workflow will now go through, and it will associate that particular workflow to occur whenever that event fires. Now, let's try this to get this one to fire so I can show you this working. I'm going to pick one that's in execution, and I think I've got Windows 8 rollout is one that we were looking at earlier. Okay, so I've got a project, got a bit of timeline funkiness going on there. But I'm going to go in, I'm going to use the web-based scheduler, and I've got this one checked out already. I've already done this one. I'm not going to show you that then. Check it in. That's it. Let's pick the one we just did, PC300 demo project. So I'm going to go in. Because I'm in execution, I've now got access to the schedule PDP. I'm going to go to task. Going to choose to edit in the browser. Going to use that fantastic new browser-based scheduling engine that we get in Project Server 2013. When this comes up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in. I'm going to take this particular project. That's it. And I'm going to blow this task out to be 4,000 hours. So we're running a little bit over. I'll publish that back into Project Server. What's going to happen is the queue is going to pick up the job. It's going to work. Our event's going to fire when the project is published, and our workflow is going to kick off. So if we go back in and have a look, I go in here, I go to Manage Event-Driven Workflows, I choose my workflow, and I click on Workflow History. You'll see the event has finished already. No, not yet. It's not kicked yet, but it will in a minute. It will in a minute. It will in a minute. No, all right. Someone doesn't like me today. What will happen, though, eventually, is you'll see a email come through to Brett's inbox. There you go. The one I did yesterday, just in case this happened. And Brett's had a notification that it's been exceeded. So that fired pretty much within a minute or so, and hopefully it's fired whilst we were talking. There it is, it's just happened. So 236, that workflow fired. If we go down, maximize it, we were over budget, we fired the notification, and Brett's inbox, there you go, yes, has got the notification sitting in there. So pretty much instantly, not 2 weeks, pretty much within a minute, all right, so we knew what happened. All right, so that's event-driven workflows. It's something pretty exciting. Now, you're not just limited to obviously project published, although that's probably the most useful. If you're doing stuff like custom field changes, if you're doing stuff like resources being added, it can be very useful to go out and notify people and kick off those processes that you can use elsewhere. So I don't want to talk about Project Server a bit. What I want to do now is concentrate on SharePoint on-premise. I want to look at SharePoint on-premise in a little bit more detail. How many people here are using SharePoint on-premise as a work? Okay, so a fair number of you, okay? So some of the typical things around SharePoint on-premise that people want to do around implementing process tend to be things like enhancing collaboration. So maybe they want to add document approvals, and this seems like a very common request. But a lot of organizations just have a document library. They dump documents into it. People come along. They grab those documents. They think they're gospel. They really draft. They go off. They build the wrong thing. It's dreadful. Project goes over budget. It's all horribly wrong. So making sure that you have document approvals in place and making sure that people see authorized copies of that document or don't see draft versions of that document can be quite important. Another thing that we see through Nintex, through our customers, is requests for integration with Enterprise Social. So you would have seen the sessions and the discussion around Yammer. A lot of people want to leverage social as a collaboration means. They want people to know when a new document has been approved. They want to punch it out into Yammer so people see it. They want to know when change requests have been approved and or available for people to review. They want to push it out to Yammer. So there are ways of doing that, and we're going to show you later on today some ways of doing that which are pretty exciting. Key things around registers and lists. So SharePoint and, to be honest, Project Server collaboration workspaces. Registers and lists are their bread and butter. Things like change requests. Creating a list to store change requests is a pretty common requirement. When you think about it, implementing that process around a change request is a massive deal. I don't want to come along and create a project change request and not necessarily get the right approvals. If I'm going to ask for a $50,000 budget increase, I want to make sure everybody in the world knows that I want it, and more importantly, as the project manager, I want everybody in the world to know that I've got approval to spend it, okay? So making sure that process is there and the right people know that there's changes required, that they've approved, that you've got authorization can be very important. For those of us from a project server background, we're pretty spoiled. We've had risks and issues out of the box, okay? So we've been leveraging that for years. But if you're using SharePoint as your primary collaboration or your project management solution, there's no reason why you can't use risks and issues. Very simple, it's a list. Create the list, build it out, and again, put a process behind it. You don't necessarily want everything showing up on that risks and issues list. Maybe you want it to go through a project manager to approve it before it appears on the list. Maybe you want it to go through someone who can assess it and make sure it's ranked, so it's got its right likelihood and consequence. All things that you may want to do around those risks and issues. The final thing, and we see this a lot in the construction sector, is around external sharing. Organizations work with external contractors. They want to make sure that they have a process in place to share information with those external contractors so they always got the latest version of the specs, of the drawings. They also want things to make sure that the contractor has seen that information. They want notifications that external contractor has actually seen that document and ticked off that they've seen it. They want that, I guess it's transmittals is the term that gets used a fair bit. So implementing those kind of processes can be quite difficult. So what I want to show you today, and this is the risky bit in more ways than you know, is around a risk management solution. I'm going to show you something inside SharePoint on-prem, and I'm going to show you some other stuff. I'm going to show you some pretty cool stuff. Now, I hope you've all got mobile devices here that talk to networks, because we've got some audience participation coming up. Okay? So what I've got here is a SharePoint 2013 on-prem site. And I've activated those new project management features, so I've got my timeline and I've got the old-fashioned news feed in this particular case. What I've done is I've created a list. A list is called the risks list. Very simple stuff. I've got description, status, risk category, consequence, likelihood, strategy, treatment details. I've got an assigned to field, okay? Now, in the traditional world, I could come in here and I could just start plugging this stuff in. But to get proper value out of the risks list, I want to put some process around it. And I also want to make it so that this risks list can be used from anywhere in my organization, whether or not you're inside the office and you've got access to SharePoint, or if you're in the construction industry, and we'll use that example again, I'm out on site, okay? So I'm out and about. So what I've done is this particular case is I've used a different product that you may not have seen before, a thing that we call Nintex Forms. What Nintex Forms is a drag and drop browser-based forms designer, okay? So I can come in and I can build out a form. So I can choose things like labels, I can decide and move things around if I want, and my design skills are horrible, as you can tell from that logo that I did, okay, at the top, that's all me. No need to clap. So if I pull that back. But I can go in and I can change the look and feel. I can make this look exactly how I want. It can be your corporate branding, it can be the layout that works for you. You get the idea, I can easily add that information. The great thing about Nintex Forms is I can also add powerful validation to this form. So it's not just a case of making it look pretty. I can go in and I can add rules so that certain fields are only activated if there's certain criteria selected. So if I go in and I click on it, rules, you'll see here that I've added a rule to some of these controls. And you have this very simple format to go through. In this case here, this particular control on the form will deactivate if I've chosen a status of closed. Okay, pretty simple. It's like an Excel type macro builder. We can go through and you can change the formatting if you wish and you can add as many things as you want. I've also added another little piece on this one, which is around the assigned to field. And I've decided that I don't want the assigned to field to be seen by anybody unless unless it's the form's being edited, which is going to be me. So I've added a validation to this. If I go to appearance, I'm basically saying I don't want you to see the assigned to field if it's in new mode, okay, which is what it is. So that's pretty good. I've got a form. I'm pretty happy with that. But I want to be able to fill this form in on a mobile device, and this isn't going to be a great format for that. So with Nintex Forms, I can go in and I can choose different formats. So if I click up the top here on smartphone, Nintex Forms will re-render that form for you so it works on a mobile device. Okay, so you'll get this look and feel. I can change this if I wish. I can change what the logo looks like. I can change the layout to make it more effective. We have a go for you. We try, but you can go in and customize it. It doesn't end just there. We can also go in and we can target this at other devices. And you'll see here we've got iPhone, Android, iPad, Windows Phone. So if I choose Windows Phone, it's a Microsoft conference, there should be a lot of them. You go through it and you'll see it's formatted the form. In this case here, it's added it's got a graphic that's been overbled, but you get the idea. At the touch of a button, I can create stuff that targets different browsers and different forms. So what I want to do is I want this form now to be used by everyone in my organization. So I could publish this back into SharePoint and we're all good, and the infrastructure potentially could take care of people being able to fill that, access that form. We also provide this thing that we call Nintex Live. And specifically, this is what we call a live form. What I've done is I've chosen to publish this form out to the internet, okay? And I've, for the case of the demo today, I've allowed anybody to fill the form in. Okay, so this form is sitting out there on the internet at the moment. And what I want you guys to do is to fill it in for me. This is the brave part. So what I've done is I've created a friendly URL. The one you saw before, not so friendly. But if you go to this one, all lowercase, http://ntx.lv, whack forms 14, you should see on your mobile devices that form come up. Not only will it come up, it will render in the version for your mobile device. And you will see the validation. So the validation that I put on the form will also be there. Now just to prove that, whilst you're typing that in, so ntx.lv, whack forms 14. Whoops, I'm gonna go back in just briefly, and I'm gonna create one just so you can see. So I'm gonna go new item. It's gonna bring my form up. I'm doing it on the web here. I get my branding. I get my stuff. I've got validation here. So if I press save now, the validation is going to kick in. And you should all be seeing that on your mobile devices. If you try to submit this form without filling in the information, it's not going to work. Okay? So I've added that validation. I can customize that if I will. So I'm going to say new risk. I'm going to go down. I can choose my risk categories. If I don't fill those in, it's going to choose anything other than please select. It's going to complain. And I've also added that validation. If I choose a status other, or if I choose the status closed, it'll deactivate those fields. So the validation is getting passed through. Now when I press the button, it's going to get saved back into my document library, or my list in this case, and it's there. Now the ones you're doing through this URL, which I'll put back up, they're going off into the Nintex cloud. And this particular box is polling that cloud every minute, and it'll pull those down. Okay, so whoever's the first to come down, I have more of those little Australian golden nugget things. So hopefully, in a minute or two, we'll see it come back down. There we go. Fantastic. Neil. Where's Neil? There you go. Excellent. Here you go. Come and get it. It's a present for you. Just pop them there. Whoa. Thank you for taking part. Thanks. I still have more, so if there's any creative ones that appear. Oh, there you go, they're all coming down, fantastic. Beer, I will make sure that you've got some put aside for you, there you go. So what you saw there in Nintex Forms was browser-based Forms Designer, where I could target different devices. You can see how powerful that would be. If you're out on the road and you want to be able to go and fill in a form, send it in, brilliant. But there are some scenarios where it doesn't necessarily doesn't work. Maybe I want to do something slightly more advanced. Maybe I want to be able to use some of the more advanced features. Maybe I want to use a phone and I want to use the camera. Maybe I want to use GPS. Okay. Well, we have a solution for that as well. And this is something we see again, and in particularly in a health and safety scenario. If, again, I'm in a construction industry and I'm out on site and I see something that's just downright dangerous, I want to mark where it is, I want to take a photo of it, and I want to report it, okay? And that's where another product of ours comes in. I'm going to show you that now. So, again, I've got a list. It's a health and safety list. Very simple. Description of issue, location, hazard type. If I click on the Nintex Forms, it's going to bring up the designer again. Now, I kind of lost inspiration after the first logo, so I left it with the out-of-the-box one in this case, but you get the idea. I've got the title, I've got description of issue, and I've got a geolocation field that I've added in this case here. Okay. What I've done with this one is I've decided to publish this one internally. So I'm not putting it out on the internet. I haven't made anyone have access to it. I've left it within my organization, and that's something we can do with Nintex Live. We can go in and we can say, I only want people within this domain name to respond, or people with certain accounts. So in this case here, I've targeted it as. What I've done with this one is I've changed the device I'm targeting at. I've chosen Nintex Mobile. Okay, so this is a client that we provide, a rich client. It's licensed with our Forms product, and it gives you a rich client on Windows Phone, Windows 8, iPhone, iPad, and Android coming soon. Okay, so you can use the rich capabilities of your mobile device to respond to your tasks and to fill in forms. So in this case here, I've pushed this one to be Nintex Mobile. And in the magic of demos, I'm going to open the Nintex Mobile app. So here we go. And you see here, I've opened the app. Now in this case here, what I've done, I'm letting you see the tasks. So what I didn't tell you in the previous demo is I had a workflow sitting behind that risk management to send tasks through to me. So in the case here, you'll see those tasks that you put up, Neil's task, Beer's risk, have come through to me now. And I can look at this, and I can go in and assign it to other people. Okay, so that's pretty cool. What I wanted to show you was forms. So I can now be offline, and I can respond to a form. And there's one there that's just catching my eye for some reason, which is the health and safety form. So I can now go in, and I can respond to this on my device using this rich UI. So I'm going to put in the health and safety. I'm going to say too many people, lots of attendees, presenter is scared. There you go. I can choose the location of the hazard if I want. So if I click, we'll go out to a GPS service, And we'll find out where we are. So here we've kind of zoomed in on Disneyland. Doesn't have to be, but I've worked out the GPS coordinates of where I am now. Okay? If I wanted to, I could type in Buckingham Palace and we could assign the risk there, but we'll leave it to this one. Okay, so we're here. It's pretty good. So we've taken those coordinates, we've dropped them back in. We want to do some other things. I'm just going to choose a hazard type, and we've picked that up from the form. There you go, people. And I want to use a camera now. I want to attach some photos to it. So I can go in. I've got a camera attached here, so I can use Windows 8. So we've got a big smile for everyone back in Australia. And if I go click, fantastic. This also works for me because my wife thinks that I just come out here and go on jollies. I think it's not bad that I show her I actually do stuff and people turn up. So I've attached that photo to this form. Now, if I'm not quite ready to submit it, if I'm not necessarily connected to the internet, it's not the end of the world, I can save it. So I've got this draft capability. I can come back to it if I wanted to. If I'm happy and ready to submit, I press the submit button. And you'll see there it's sitting in the outbox. And in a moment or two, there you go, it's just gone. So I'll have this outbox capability. And just like Outlook, things sit in your outbox till you connect back up to the internet. Exactly the same concept here. When I connect back up, that will pass it back off up through the network. Again, if we go back in, if I just close that one down, go back into my VM, close that. There you go. It's come back into SharePoint. So I've responded through my mobile device, in this case, Windows 8 tablet. Supports things like semantic zoom, supports things like pinning, all the Windows 8 marquee features. But I don't have to just use that. I could go in and I could use Intex Mobile on my mobile device as well. Okay? It's a very powerful for implementing process. If you want to see a bit more of that, please swing by the booth. I'm more than happy to show you. Okay. Now we're kind of running out of time here, so I'm going to flick back quickly. The last thing I want to show you, it's the one I'm really excited about, Office 365. So about 3 or 4 months ago, we released two new products, Nintex Workflow for Office 365 and Nintex Forms for Office 365. Workflow for 365, you would have seen in the keynote yesterday. Okay, so it's a powerful drag and drop designer that allows you to build workflows in 365 that integrates a wealth of cloud actions and other activities. Okay, and we'll show you that in a moment. Back in October, we also released Nintex Forms for Office 365. So again, browser-based, rich, drag-and-drop forms designer for Office 365. Now, both of these were implemented using the SharePoint app model. Okay, and you've heard a lot about SharePoint apps and Project Server apps. These are both implemented as apps. They run in the cloud, that Nintex maintains. We take care of all the uptime. We take care of all the monitoring. Take care of all the patching for you. Yeah. Every fortnight, we drop new features into the service. Okay, so same as Office 365, that constant innovation, which we're bubbling up through our 365 products. So the last demo, and possibly the most technical risky, is I'm going to show you Nintex Workflow for Office 365 and also Nintex Forms for Office 365. And what I've got here is an Office 365 site, so just a straight SharePoint site. And I've added the apps. So if I go in and look at site contents, you'll see that the apps have been downloaded and added. And you saw that in the keynote yesterday. It's very simple to do. I'm not going to go through it again today. So if we look at this particular scenario, what I've got here is a change request list. And I'm going to request some change stuff. I'm going to request I've got a title, description of change, and a change type. Very simple stuff. What I'm going to do with this is I'm going to use Nintex Forms for Office 365 to collect that information. I'm going to use the rich form browser to build out the form, but also to put the validation on the form and to target different devices. I'm also then going to use Nintex Workflow for Office 365 to listen for when the change request comes in, and I'm going to fire a process off. And in this case, this is where the demo gods will be with me, I'm going to fire through to Yammer. Okay, so my change request is going to come in, and I'm going to fire off information into my enterprise social feed to say that a change request has been received so that people in my team can come in and they can look at that. They can see that change. Okay. I'll also then create a task and send that off to myself in this case. So briefly, just have a look. I'm going to go into my change requests. When you install Workflow and Nintex Forms for 365, we add up onto the ribbon. So we've got two buttons up here. We've got the Nintex Forms button, and we've got the Nintex Workflow button. So if I go into Nintex Forms first, it's going to fire off. It's going to go off and talk to Nintex's cloud servers, and it's going to pull down the designer. Now, I'm using a trial here. Nintex provides a free 30-day trial of both products that you can go off and use and do anything you want with, all the capabilities there. So this is the form. I haven't really done anything to it. We've branded it for you, and it's gone through and it's added all of the list items that that I require. I've added a few other things in this case. I've added some rules. So I've got here where the change type, and I'll show additional hours if the change type is schedule, and I'll show this additional cost thing if the change type is, schedule. And wrong one, disable is not budget. Budget, there you go. But you see, very similar to what you saw with the on-premise product. You've got the menu on the left-hand side, you can drag and drop the controls, you can change the formatting, you can add the rules, you can target different devices, all there, all available through the app model. I'm going to come out of this, and I'll show you Nintex Workflow briefly. So what I've got is a workflow sitting on this list as well. And this workflow is scheduled to fire whenever an item is created. This one's going to go off now. It's going to talk. Again, it's a trial. Okay, so I've got the workflow designer, and you saw yesterday, very simple, drag and drop, bring it onto the designer. But let me show you the workflow. So I'm going to open up my change approval workflow. This is now talking off to Office 365 and pulling the workflow back out of 365 into our designer. Okay, takes a few moments to communicate back and forth. In a few moments. Yep. All right, so the licensing model is everyone within the tenant requires access to the license. I'm happy to talk offline about that. So it's opened up the workflow designer. You saw yesterday you can drag and drop, and we've got an action on here that lets me configure a Yammer message. Okay. Same thing, I've got the canvas, it draws the lines in. Very simple, we have a stack of actions. So we provide a lot out of the box, things to talk to Office 365, document repositories, but also things like operations that you saw before in our main product, but also additional actions like social integration. Now we also have this concept that we call an Nintex store, which is where you can go in and add additional actions. A number of these are included as part of your subscription to the service. So there's actions in here that let you provision users in Office 365 if you're using that. We have actions that let you talk to external file sharing like Box and Dropbox and SkyDrive. We let you talk to Exchange, Facebook, LinkedIn, Yammer. Okay, these get updated on a monthly basis. So we're adding new stuff all the time. To add an action, it's a case of picking what you want. Probably shouldn't choose that one here, but never mind. Click on Yes, and it will add it back into your toolbox, and you're ready to use it in your workflow. It's a very simple way of leveraging it. Now, when I'm ready to publish this one, I press the Publish button, and we push it back into Office 365. A majority of them are. There's a couple of paid ones in there. We also are going to make available that our partners can put their actions in there, so they can add additional capability. So let me create one. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to choose New Item. It's going to go off. It's going to talk to the Nintex Forms Filler app. Okay, so I've got my form. It's customized, as you saw before. I'm going to put my change in. So in this case, I'm going to say I need more time. In my change type, I'm going to say schedule. And you'll see the validation's kicked in. That additional hours control has appeared. I reckon we need an additional hour. That'll do. And I'm going to click on save. That's going to take the form, and it's going to punch it back into Office 365. There it is. It's appeared down there. What it's also done, it's fired the workflow off. So now Nintex workflow for Office 365 is kicked off. That workflow process is starting up. And if we go back to the home page, we should see a Yammer message waiting for me. So if I scroll down, all right, in a moment or two, we're going to see a Yammer message appear in there. Okay, it'll take a few moments. And when it does show up, it's going to show up in the past. I warn you now. My Yammer client thinks I'm in Australia still, and it's tomorrow there. Okay, so it's having a bit of a moment. So It'll take a few moments while it does that. No. Let's have a quick look. What's going on? Go to my workflows. Started. So it's on its way. And it's created the... Okay, so it's doing it. So just one more chance. It might be Yammer having a bit of a moment. I told you it was risky. There you go. So it's turned up 18 hours ago, but that is the specific one. So if I click on it, you'll see, need more time. So there you go. What we've done is we've taken that particular change request. We've worked out the URL to access the form. We've punched it out to Yammer through one action. Okay, so we've communicated that out. Imagine the possibilities there. You could start to throw things out to Yammer. They could respond to those tasks. There's a whole wealth of capability and things that you could necessarily do there. So, in review, we saw Project Server, and we went in and we looked at demand management workflows and event-driven workflows through the Nintex workflow for Project Server and the Nintex workflow product. What I didn't show you was forms. You can use forms in Project Server. You can use it in the collaboration workspaces. All that stuff we saw with risks and issues is available for you to use down there in Project Server. We saw SharePoint. We saw those the risk management list. We saw the health and safety lists with the Nintex Mobile using Nintex Workflow and Nintex Forms. And finally, for Office 365, we saw the two apps. We saw Nintex Workflow for Office 365 and Nintex Forms for Office 365, which are bringing those capabilities that you see in the on-premise products to the cloud and through the power of the app model so you can quickly add them into your tenants and get the value from them quickly and easily. Now, my call to action, there's always a call to action. I'd love you to walk out of this session and go and try what I've just shown you. It is that easy. You should be able to install the products either in your own environments. We provide binaries and trial licenses. So you can get a 30-day trial license. We also provide hosted trials. Okay, so you can go in and you can pick up a hosted trial that we host the infrastructure for you. I'd also encourage you to go and seek out some of our partners downstairs in the expo hall. They've got a Nintex partner sticker on the floor next to where their logo is. Those guys can help you with trials as well. Okay, so I encourage you to go off, talk to the partners, download direct, give it a go. See how quick and easy it really is to build this stuff out. On the right-hand side, a few other resources. We provide webinars, either ourselves or directly with partners, to go through capabilities and to give you insights in how the products work and new capability. We have a channel on YouTube which has past webinars on there. Please go in, have a look. Lots of tutorials, lots of how-tos, lots of information to help you get up to speed as quickly as possible. We have a forum, connect.nintex.com. If you've got technical questions, post them in there. Someone will respond. Okay, we monitor it 24/7. And the thing that I love the most is we have a user voice site. We want to know what you want to see in our products, okay? We monitor this on a daily basis. It is, in fact, the start page on my laptop. I want to see what you guys want, okay? I want to know if there's something bugging you in the product that you want fixed, tell me. If there's something that you think it doesn't do and it should do better, tell me, okay? Go into nintex.uservoice and let us know. Now, there's a stack of links there. The important one is the bottom right-hand corner, the bit.ly link. So all of those links and a few more are available on that bit.ly link. So bit.ly.nintexpc14. So with that, thank you for your time this morning. I hope you found it useful. If you have further questions, we do have a booth. Luckily, Fitz isn't wearing his kilt this time, so you'll feel free to go there and not feel offended. Come to the booth, come and talk to us. There's five of us there. We're more than willing to show you something in a bit more detail, talk about anything around the Nintex products. Otherwise, those are my contact details. Please ping me directly. Now, last thing before I close up, please, oh please, can you fill in your session evaluations for the session? That would be fantastic. Now, with that, I still have one lot of biscuits. Whoever's got the really good question, I'll open the floor to questions. Anybody? Ben? Do we? We will, but not quite yet. Yeah, talk to me afterwards. Thank you. No, so yeah, the question is, with the lazy approval, does it actually pass for the word approved? No, we require, and there's a footer, we require it to be on a line on its own. It states that in the bottom of the email. As a what, sorry? The demand management workflows? Or the event-driven? The event-driven, what we do is we, the question is, how does it work when we add an event-driven workflow? We basically bind the workflow to the event. We have a DLL that we implement, and then it does it. Correct, yeah. No, we only... Not really. Our tests, we've added stuff to lots of events, and we're not negligible impact. Remember, we only add the events, only add to the post events. We don't let you touch the pre events because that's dangerous. Post events, not so dangerous. Yeah. Correct. Yes. Yes. Talk to me afterwards. I'll show you. Yeah. Any other questions? No, you can pass for different phrases. So if you had, on the Flexi task, it had approved, rejected, you could add an additional phrase like more information or maybe, in which case it would, if you responded with that word, it would go down that path. Correct, yeah, but not conditional if, that's a bit advanced. Yes, an ideation scenario, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So we don't, with 2013, we don't have a native ideation action like you've got with 2013 SharePoint Designer workflows, but we do, we have a call web service action. You can call a PSI method that will do the ideation for you. I've got a blog post on it if you go to the blog. Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.